Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. Lots to share. Today is our commentary day. I've written some commentaries I'll be sharing, as well as presenting insights from others that I believe have something to stimulate us. We'll also be hearing from the voices of the people. This is a new part of our program, brand new, inaugurating it today. Today we're going to hear from Azealia Danto, a Haitian, on the Black Agenda Report, Haiti, the U.S. to rewrite Haiti Constitution to better service the 1%. Also in that line, we'll be hearing from Beverly Bell from Global Research on the Haitian sweatshop worker who speaks. She says Mrs. Clinton can have her factories. Really? What's that about? We'll explore that. Also today, from Alexander Coburn and Jeffrey St. Clair, The American Way of Torture from Counterpunch. Then the latest on our public health segment on ADHD, the drugs that they give, the kitty cocaine. Well, we've been told that it makes you brighter. It allows you to study better, be more focused, get better grades. They've finally done a study of 4,000 students over 11 years. I'll give you the results of that. Also, I'm sure that you've heard about the Paul Offit running around America, not being challenged by any of the TV programs he's on, about his own background, his own statements. Well, Alison Rose Levy, who does a program here, has written a commentary that you should listen to. The medical establishment's favorite doctor and his crusade against supplements and alternative medicine. You'll get a different perspective after you hear what she has to say. As you see, we have a lot to share. And on our environment, well, there's just a new massive iceberg breaking off, largest in history, about 8 times the size of Manhattan. But now today, there's brand new information on massive ice sheets melting, quote, at a rate of 300 billion tons a year. They're finding this out by climate satellite. What does that mean? Well, we'll take a look at what Bristol University's Glaciology Center discovered, and why it should be of concern to people living near the ocean. Also, glyphosate. It was created to kill life. The facts from Ethan Huff of Natural News. And you know all those earthquakes in America? How many? In the recent time, just 2 years, 300 earthquakes above 3.0 magnitude. And they've been happening because, I'll tell you why. As you see, environment, public health issues, health and nutrition, healing, and commentaries, we have a lot to get into. Let's begin. We know that we should have a healthy gut. When you eat lots of plant-based foods and whole grains and nuts and seeds, indeed you will have a healthy gut. Good bacteria promote good health. But the opposite is also true. Bad bacteria cause injury in the body at the cellular level. This is from UCLA's Johnson Cancer Center. Quote, researchers from UCLA's Johnson Comprehensive Cancer Center have discovered that specific types of bacteria that live in the gut are major contributors to lymphoma, a cancer of the white blood cells. Published in Cancer Research, the peer-reviewed journal, they found that this relationship exists and, quote, up to 1,000 different species of bacteria, which are the intestinal microbiota, live in the human gut, and they number about 100 trillion cells. Over 90% of the cells in the body are bacteria. And the composition of each person's microbiological component, meaning their bacterial makeup, is very different to the types of bacteria most people ingest early in life. And so they're saying bad bacteria can lead to B-cell lymphoma and other diseases, end quote. Now think of it this way. Think of how many times I've suggested the simplicity of health. You get rid of caffeine and sodas, fructose, high fructose corn syrup, all the artificial sweeteners. You bring in a healthy diet. You get rid of meat and fried foods and pizzas and confections. You get rid of highly acidic foods. And you start focusing upon rebuilding the gut. Watermelon, lemon, grapefruit, green juices, those all help cleanse the blood, cleanse the gut. Vitamin C, caprylic acid, glutamine, alpha-lipoic acid, garlic and onion, they're all outstanding gut cleaners. And then you reestablish a healthy bacteria with probiotics. If you just drank one glass of sauerkraut juice a day, that would be terrific for you. But miso soup is also terrific. And then you can just take non-dairy probiotics. I'm going to suggest about 5 billion probiotics. Now, if you have candida or any form of yeast infection, you probably have to triple that. Next up, a new study shows a connection between diet and colorectal cancer. Here's what it says, and this is from the Scottish Colorectal Cancer Study, and it was done also through the University of Edinburgh School of Molecular Genetic and Population Health Sciences, and it was published in the peer-reviewed European Journal of Cancer Prevention. Quote, fizzy drinks, that means carbonated beverages, confection drinks, soft drinks, cakes, biscuits, crispy food, that means fried food, and desserts have all been identified as risk factors for bowel cancer. The study is the first of its kind to find a positive link between the disease, meaning colorectal cancer, and a diet high in foods that contain a lot of sugar and fat. Researchers looked at risk factors including diet, the levels of physical activity, and smoking in this large study. A team from the University of Edinburgh examined more than 170 different foods. They included fruits and vegetables and fish and meat, as well as these high-energy snack foods and soft drinks and fruit drinks. And scientists reported with some established risk factors of colorectal cancer. So, if you keep with the standard diet anywhere in the world, you have a far greater risk of coming down with colorectal cancer, which is one of the most prevalent cancers in the United States. And it's one of the most deadly. Now, a lot of people in America and around the world have bacterial infections. According to Science Daily, in a major study published in the Canadian Journal of Microbiology and done at McGill University, consuming cranberry products has been associated with preventing urinary tract infections over 100 years. But then some people say, well, is it based upon truth that is scientifically based or myth? So what we look at here is what's the actual mechanism and proof that it works. Now, according to Science Daily, quote, in recent years, some studies have suggested that cranberries prevent urinary tract infections by hindering bacteria from sticking to the walls of the urinary tract, thanks to phytochemicals known as proanthocyanidins, yet the mechanisms by which cranberry material may alter bacterial behavior have not been fully understood. Now, researchers in McGill University Department of Chemical Engineering are shedding light on the biological mechanisms by which cranberries may impart protective properties against urinary tract and other infections. Two new studies, spearheaded by a professor, add to evidence of cranberry's effect on urinary tract causing bacteria. The findings also point to the potential of cranberry derivatives to be used to prevent bacterial colonization in medical devices such as catheters. And the research was published in Canadian Journal of Microbiology. And a number of laboratory researchers report that, quote, cranberry powder, the powder now, can inhibit the ability of Proteus mirabilis, a bacterium frequently implicated in complicated urinary tract infections, to swarm on agar plates and swim within the agar. The experiments also showed that increasing concentrations of cranberry powder reduce the bacteria's production of ureases, an enzyme that contributes to the virulence of infections. And these results build on previous work at a McGill lab, university lab, showing that cranberry materials hinder movement of other bacteria involved in urinary tract infections. And a genome-wide analysis of the uropathogenic E. coli revealed that the expression of the gene that encodes for the bacteria's filament was decreased in the presence of cranberries. So, all good. If you're drinking cranberry juice unsweetened, terrific. Cranberry concentrate is even better. But best of all is cranberries that are juiced and dried, made into a powder. That's the best of all. And I'll bet that a lot of you out there ought to reread your labels of your red powders if you're consuming them, and you'll see right there, cranberry powder. One more on this. This is a separate study, and this is on the health benefits of organic cranberry juice. Quote from the Sleuth Journal, "The cranberry is a small red fruit that is often passed over in favor of the blueberry. However, the cranberry has several health benefits and is most commonly available as a juice. If your juice of choice with your breakfast is orange, stop and consider for a moment the benefits of cranberry and perhaps swap out your regular juice once in a while." And then it goes on to talk about the botanical description of cranberry and why it is so powerful. And then the ingredients that they found, very high in vitamin C, vitamin A, beta carotene, calcium, phosphorus, potassium, and fiber. And it's the calcium, and it helps form strong bones and teeth. Potassium helps promote a healthy nervous system. But then going beyond just the urinary tract infections, the scientific literature is replete with other studies. Here's some of the other studies. It helps prevent cardiovascular disease. Quote, "Research studies have shown that drinking 3 glasses of cranberry juice a day raises the level of the good cholesterol in the blood and increases the level of plasma antioxidants, which overall reduces the risk of heart disease." That's from Science Daily. "It helps prevent tooth decay. A glass of unsweetened cranberry juice can help reduce the buildup of dental plaque, as the chemical ingredient found in cranberry juice inhibits the growth of mouth bacteria. It also helps prevent kidney stones. Quote, cranberry juice is effective in cleansing the body of toxins and waste, thus leading to the prevention of kidney stones. It helps prevent colds and flu. Cranberry juice is rich in vitamin C, which helps build up the immune system against diseases such as cold and flus." So, just all good news. Now, for those of you like myself, and I'm on the road now for another week. I'll be returning a week from today. 3 separate full-feature, socially relevant films completed. And I'll be releasing these over the next, 2 months, 6 months, and 9 months. And these are an important themes which can help whole movements gain some traction because of the scientific credibility will now be proven to be on their side instead of the establishment's. But when I'm traveling, I frequently just don't have either the time in a day or the opportunity to find a place where I can sit and have a healthy meal, let alone a healthy juice. So I frequently take in my backpack, I take a whole series of plastic bags. And in these bags, I put powders of different types, proteins and phytonutrients, rich in greens and and fruits. And all I have to do is find some clean, spring water. If not, then I have my own portable filter that I travel with, and I'll find water. And though I lose a little weight because I'm not eating the calories nor able to work out as I like, I do get the nutrients my body requires. And in an ideal situation, I believe that every American should consume about 11 servings of fruits and vegetables a day under normal circumstances. Now, if your circumstance is not normal, if you have cancer or arthritis or possibly dementia or Alzheimer's, that could double or triple based upon how it's consumed. Clearly, you can't sit and eat the whole food, but you can take the juices, which is common, or you can take a combination of juices and powders with other essential fatty acids and actually build up the body's immune system so strong that it's able to defeat most different types of degenerative diseases. This is from the Karolinska Institute in Sweden, which is a highly respected institute, from a professor of nutrition and epidemiology, and it was published in the peer-reviewed journal, the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. Quote, fruits and vegetables, 5 a day, advice backed by new findings. Quote, a large Swedish study finds a link between fruit and vegetable consumption and lifespan. People who ate fewer than the recommended 5-a-day portions of fruits and vegetables tended not to live as long as people who ate 5 portions a day or more, say the researchers. Alicia Walk, professor of nutritional epidemiology, and colleagues did their research. And this was a 13-year study on 11,000 men and women. Quote, thus, the less fruits and vegetables they ate under the 5-a-day threshold, the shorter their lives. And those who said they never ate fruits and vegetables had lives cut short by 3 additional years and were 53% more likely to die during the follow-up compared to those who ate 5 or more. Now, mind you, I think that 5 servings of fruits and vegetables a day is absolutely minimum. Absolutely minimum. That would be like me telling you to take 100 milligrams of vitamin C a day. That would prevent classic scurvy, but it would do nothing to maximize your body's immune system if you had an infection, cold, flu, cancer. I've even worked with people in the first studies of its kind ever in science or medicine. And the year was 1990. There was some people who came to see me who had end-stage disease, meaning their doctors had done all they could. They had been treated with every possible regular chemotherapy plus experimental chemotherapy. One guy had gone to Germany to try some experimental chemotherapy there. Everything that could be done was done. They were told to go home and put their life in order, and or to go into hospice care. And they were given large amounts of morphine to dull the pain. Normally, once a person goes into hospice care with an advanced disease and they're given morphine, generally they don't live very long. Sometimes it's just days, sometimes a week, and occasionally it's a few months. And because at a certain point the pain is so bad, or the detachment from reality when you take the morphine is so bad, that they simply want to die. So they just give up. So that's when I would get these people. And I would start off with our physicians by building up a tolerance and seeing how they were able to deal with it. And with small doses, first orally, and then getting up to where they could take no more orally. They had maxed out. They were at bowel tolerance. And then starting with lower doses of intravenous. And it just wasn't vitamin C. There was a whole group of things I would put together. And over a period of time, they began to tolerate more and more. It generally takes 1 week per elevation. So you keep it 25,000 milligrams for a week. then 50,000 milligrams, and generally it went up in 25,000 milligram increments. It was only in many of them when we hit the 75 to 100,000 milligrams that we could actually see vitamin C and measure it in their urine, which meant that the body was absorbing it and using it. And I had spoken extensively with Linus Pauling and Irwin Stone, and I had spoken earlier with the discoverer of ascorbic acid who won the Nobel Prize, Albert Sangiorgi. And I'd gotten all their feedback. I also called Dr. Klenner down in North Carolina. The most he ever used was 50,000 units, but I'd been using more than 50,000 units for a long time to get drug addicts and alcoholics off their addictive substances and detox without them going through delirium tremens and other emotional states. So it was not difficult to realize that we just hadn't been using enough. And, for example, if you try to go off caffeine and you get an excruciating migraine headache, you'll probably get those headaches for about 4 to 5 days till the body clears the metabolites out of the system. However, if you take large amounts of certain nutrients, such as vitamin C and some niacinamide to bowel tolerance, or not bowel tolerance, to before you flush, and certain high levels of methylated folic acid and B12, I've seen people only have minor headache for 1 or 2 days, and sometimes not at all. The same was also true getting people off heroin without methadone, cocaine, methamphetamine. I work with thousands of people, and I got them off. So I already had those protocols in hand. And when we hit the big numbers, real high numbers, I wouldn't even discuss that, that's when the cancer was stopped, and that's when their vitality returned, and that's when they would reverse their cancers and reverse advanced AIDS. In fact, 12 out of 12 people completely reversed their AIDS. And this was proven. We had all their independent medical records, all their blood chemistries meticulously done. And then Tony Brown of PBS's Tony Brown's Journal had his own experts and doctors look at the records, talk with the patients, and only when he was convinced that these were legitimate people who had had full-blown AIDS or ARC, had all the evidence to verify it, had been treated at major medical centers without success, had only then and nothing else worked with me for about 16 months daily, 6 days a week, and reversed everything. Kaposi's sarcoma, pneumocystis carinii pneumonia, thrush, low T cell, everything was completely reversed till they were all HIV negative. Then and only then did Tony Brown bring them on. And you can see these. And because he knew that he would get a backlash from the AIDS establishment apologist, the truth denialist, the people who only wanted one truth, and that was the official HIV equals AIDS equals death, and only take your drugs, and yet it was the drugs that were killing people. And these people were financially wired into that system. So he was able to stop their arguments and present his information. Now, mind you, everywhere in the world today, we have underutilized the phytonutrient complement to the diet. We think we're doing great if we have a glass of orange juice or tomato juice, and we're not. You need a lot more concentration, but you should get nutritional direction with someone who can guide you in the process. Hopefully, it's a holistic medical doctor, but if not, there's some very good holistic dietitians, holistic nurses, chiropractors, naturopaths, and nutrition advisors who can help guide you in your program. Then you'll see what I'm talking about. About 5 servings of fruits and vegetables a day. No, that's minor league stuff. That's not even a AAA team. It's not the big leagues, and you're not going to get the results. But at least they're acknowledging they got results. They're acknowledging 5 servings cause you to live 5 years longer. That's a big deal. Could you imagine if they use one of my protocols and they were using 20 servings a day? Plus other nutrients, then suddenly you'd be knocking off, let's say, 15 years added to your life expectancy. Hopefully, they'll do that. And finally, orally administered cinnamon extract reduces B amyloid and corrects cognitive impairment in Alzheimer's disease. Who says this? Because that's radical. Cinnamon helps reduce B amyloid and corrects cognitive impairment in Alzheimer's disease animal models, in quote, Johns Hopkins University, published in PLOS One, one of the most respected scientific journal. Quote, from the abstract, an increasing body of evidence indicates that accumulation of soluble assemblies of the B amyloid polypeptide play a key role in Alzheimer's disease pathology. Specifically, 56 KDA species were known to be correlated with impaired cognitive function in AD model mice. Then I'll go to the conclusion. Quote, this is the end of it. To conclude, we have identified a novel prophylactic approach for Alzheimer's disease using a natural substance which is currently very common in the human diet. It is the cinnamon fraction, orally bioavailable and very safe in vitro and vivo. We demonstrated that a minimal concentration of cinnamon is capable of inhibiting the formation of BA toxic oligomer species and amyloid fibrils in both the test tube and in the intact animal and correct the cognitive impairment in Alzheimer's disease animal models. How about that? How about something that was not anywhere in the American media? Cinnamon. Let's see. Did we talk about cinnamon in Alzheimer's? Yes, because cinnamon is one of the highest compounds known in the world for its ORAC factor. And that's the oxygen capacity to be trapped that stops the free radicals, that stops the inflammation, that helps correct in any form of infection or inflammation. But I'm glad Johns Hopkins has proven it and published it. Now let's see if anyone uses it. By the way, in the fall, not now, but in the fall, I will be taking an entire month to work with a group of individuals who have illnesses that have not responded at a sleepaway where I will be there every day. And there will be a medical team also of doctors working because I want to see what we can do with a group, whether it's Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, whatever it is, doesn't matter, to see how much of an improvement we can make in them. Now, quickly to our environmental segment, then we're going to take a break. This is the latest from Science Daily. Induced seismic activity, recent spikes of earthquake in central and eastern United States may be linked to human activity. And it talks about the more than, quote, 300 earthquakes above a magnitude of 3.0 occurred in the three-year period, 2010-2012, compared with an average of just 21 events per year observed from 1967 to 2000. This increase in earthquakes prompts two important questions. Are they natural or human-made? And what should be done in the future as we address the causes and consequences of these events to reduce associated risk? The U.S. Geological Survey scientists have been analyzing the changes in the rate of earthquakes, and here's what they found. Quote, they reviewed the injection-induced earthquakes in a recent study published in the journal Science. The article followed on the injection of fluids into deep wells as a common practice for disposal of wastewater and discusses recent events and key scientific challenges for assessing this hazard moving forward to reduce associated risk. And that means gas hydrofracking. Gas hydrofracking. That's what's causing the earthquakes. Oh, I'm glad we finally got that out. And now that's important. Also, I've been telling you that we must pay attention because Greenland is melting faster than anyone ever thought possible, and there's no mathematical model to predict how quickly the water will rise. This is the latest. This is from The Independent, Steve Connor. Quote, massive ice sheets melting at a rate of 300 billion tons a year, climate satellite shows. A satellite that measures gravity fluctuations on Earth due to changes in the massive ice sheets of Greenland and Antarctica has detected a rapid acceleration in the melting of glacier ice over the past decade, which could have a dramatic impact on sea levels around the world. The sheets are losing around 300 billion tons of ice a year, the research indicates. Well, let me just put this in proper perspective because this is something I'm up on, having spent the last almost 8 years working on my documentary on this topic and a book on this topic, The 12 Tipping Points. When the temperatures stayed rather normal, didn't fluctuate, then you would have slight melting in the summertime, but that would be replaced by the snow and ice that occurred in the wintertime. Now that we have such hot summers and we're having warmer weather in the winter, that means that the ice that is melting is not being replaced. Hence, this is fresh ice. You see, it's like a glass of ice water. If you filled the glass up with ice and it all melted, it's not going to spill over. But if you have ice that you drop into a full glass, it will. Hence, icebergs already in the ocean, when they melt, will not increase the amount of water. But ice that's on land that is melting and going into the water will. And that's the problem. They're melting at an extremely fast rate. And I believe that we're going to see a tipping in the next 3 years, meaning that overnight, a huge amount of ice, either from Greenland or Iceland, will go into the ocean. And because these are on elevations of about 5 to 8 degrees or higher, as some of this is 2 miles thick, but in places now, as you'll see in my film, it looks like Niagara Falls. Huge holes in the ice, huge, and water pouring down there. Like you would expect to see in a waterfall. And then that water goes clear down to the bottom, and then that creates a skid effect. It would be like you putting a high slippery polish on your shoes to go out and walk. Every other step you're going to be falling. And that's the ice that's pulling the ice into the ocean and calving it. But we've been deceived because a lot of the calving occurs underwater, not above. Take into account that the largest calving ever, 8 times the size of Manhattan, calved last week off Antarctica. So I believe that we can realistically expect a substantial increase in the rise of water from some unusual events that will happen that will not be predicted or expected. Just as I believe, and I even last night discussed this issue with a scholar from Harvard and Cambridge universities, and one of the most respected people in the world who testifies before Congress and all over the world, and I challenged him. I challenged him to show where I was wrong, that we have a fiat currency that is worth nothing. We have nothing backing it up. We're bankrupt. We're last in all developed nations, the amount of our gross domestic product to our actual indebtedness. And stop thinking about $16 trillion as being our debt. That is not our debt. We have massive, massive debt. Our debt goes well over $160 trillion because you're not taking into account corporate debt, that's $25 trillion, homeowner debt, credit card debt, student loan debt, a municipality debt, state debt to unfunded pension funds that by state constitution they must bridge. You add all that up and you're at over $140 trillion. Well, if our gross domestic product is 15, then we're way up, somewhere between 12 times to 15 times debt to gross domestic product. With nothing to back it up, we're broke. And then I said, that means that Russia, China, South Korea, Australia, Iran, and India, and Brazil have already established that they no longer want to use the dollar as a reserve, because since FDR took us off the gold standard and then Richard Nixon completely eliminated it, And since 100 years ago, and it's 100 years ago this year, the dollar is only worth 3 cents on the dollar compared to what it was 100 years ago. So, and you can blame the Federal Reserve for that. They're exclusively responsible. Well, if you have the currency held strong because of naked shorting gold in a massive fraud that the Federal Reserve did recently, because if people put their trust in gold, which they should, and silver, which they should, which is grossly undervalued, I believe gold's going to, when the dollar reserve loses reserve currency, which is inevitable, it's going to happen, mark my words, I believe gold will go to $8,000 to $10,000 an ounce or higher, and I believe silver will go to $200 to $500 an ounce. In any case, they've already said they're not going to hold the dollar as a reserve currency. They're going to use their own mixed currencies, and China wants to have much of it, its yuan, backed by gold. Well, that means that when that happens, you won't know it. You won't hear about it. The banks won't hear about it. It'll happen overnight. And once that happens, we will be completely ill-prepared for the hyperinflation that'll ensue over the next several months after that. You'll see a collapse of Wall Street. You'll see a collapse of our banking system. You'll see spikes in everything. You could easily see gas at $20 a gallon. What do you think that's going to do to the cost of food that has to be transported or manufacturing? Then you'll see the truth of what it means when you're dealing with people who are so out of touch with telling the American public the truth and dealing in their casino capitalism that they've done for so long. You know, that's that. Finally, a few facts about glyphosate from Ethan Huff of Natural News. Quote, the most widely used pesticide chemical in the world, glyphosate, has been a target of environmental protection and human rights groups alike for many years now, and rightly so, as glyphosate, which is widely marketed and sold under the Monsanto-owned brand Roundup, is linked to causing cell damage, genetic mutations, miscarriages, behavioral disorders, reproductive damage, immune disease, cancer, and death. All of this and more is revealed in a paper published in the Journal of Pesticide Reform, which highlights many of the dirty little secrets about glyphosate that you will never hear about from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, or any other regulatory authority for that matter. While the EPA and others are busy arbitrarily declaring glyphosate to be safe enough to eat, real scientists are uncovering the many horrors associated with exposure to this pervasive chemical. By its very nature, glyphosate has been designed to squelch life before it can even begin. Monsanto's own background and marketing materials for glyphosate explain how the chemical blocks plants from producing the nutrients they need to survive, effectively killing them. And this chemical solution is being indiscriminately spread across tens of millions of acres of cropland every single year in the United States, which is leading to massive dead zones of lifeless soil and polluted earth. Quote, glyphosate blocks the activity of an enzyme used by plants to make certain important amino acids, explains the glyphosate fact sheet. Quote, without these amino acids, the plant cannot make proteins required for various life processes, resulting in the death of the plant. Glyphosate is a broad-spectrum herbicide, so it kills most types of plants, end quote. Did you catch that? Taken literally, this succinct description reveals glyphosate to be nothing more than a life-destroying poison. Natural living organisms, in other words, do not stand a chance when it comes to being exposed to this chemical. Only genetically modified plants that have been artificially programmed to resist glyphosate are able to survive. And this is the monumental expense that it's costing us in the ecosystem. So that's that. And a brand new report that's just proven what we were talking about all along. I'll tell you about this after our break. We now have a report that was done for 7 years, from 2000 to 2007, that was given to Washington officials, a petition signed by 11,000 people showing that there was bad things going on, and those government agencies and officials refused to look at it. This requires a major investigation. I'm Gary Nall, back in a moment.
today I'm more confused. Yet I look for the light through the pouring rain. You know that's a game that I hate to lose. And I'm feeling the strain. Ain't it a shame? Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll and drift away. Oh, give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll and drift away. Beginning to think that I'm wasting time.
I'd like to welcome all of you. Nice to have you with us, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. Just a moment to offer something that's brand new, not even in the bookstores yet, and it will be in about a month. It's a brand new book and a brand new documentary. In fact, while I've been out, I've been able to go to some PBS stations, one in Atlanta, one in Denver. Enormous success. People really responded to it. It is a two-part package. It's on special discount just to the Progressive Radio Network audience for $39.99. You're saving $30 off the price that you would pay, even going on BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon.com. So it's a big discount. Here's what I'm giving you. My new book, Reverse Arthritis and Pain Naturally, a proven approach to pain free life. We know that arthritis is the most common cause of disability in the United States today, limiting the activities of 50 million adults. And like cancer and diabetes and heart disease, arthritis is a disease of inflammation rooted in lifestyle choices. Well, this book takes an in-depth look at the epidemic of arthritis and chronic pain sweeping our nation today, and it provides an explanation for its causes, and it offers easy-to-follow, proven lifestyle protocols to reverse and prevent them naturally. It is so up-to-date that the final protocols were put in there just 3 months ago. So we want to help people who have pain. But also, this will not only help you with arthritis pain, this helps you with all pain. So, because it gets to the causes of pain. So arthritis and pain of every type. From migraine pain to lower back pain to stomach pain to muscle pain, fibromyalgia, this is what you need. Now, I take quite a long time of researching a book before I write it. I want to get everything that's important all over the world. This has it. So the book is definitive, but it's an easy-to-understand language. The protocols are easy to follow, and they're all completely documented. On top of that, I have a documentary, and I got all the pain experts and all the arthritis experts I could in America that follow holistic protocols, the doctors, scientists. I brought them all to New York. I built a set, and we filmed them. And then I interspersed in there the B-roll, and I split the screen. So when they're talking, well, you should be doing such and such, I list down the screen what you should do. They loved it. In fact, I had Alicia Steele's person that actually shows the film come over to me when I was down there in Atlanta. And he said, Gary, says, I don't know how many of your films we've aired down there, probably close to 30 different specials over the years. He said, this one just looks magnificent. You use all these special effects and animation. You take people inside the body. You show them when you eat a certain food, what it does once it gets into the bloodstream and how it goes to the brain and the muscle and how it impacts nerve cells. He said, no one's doing this. And it's kind of funny because on the one hand, the head of PBS has got an arthritis and pain documentary out there, and it is not doing well at all. And this was rated a 5 out of 1 to 5. So I'm very pleased that this is the documentary and this is the book that people are paying attention to. And so if you have pain or know someone who does, if you have arthritis or know someone who does, if you want to help someone or yourself, What a wonderful gift. And I've made it so you save $30. It's only $39.99. Call this number to get it. We have it in the studio. We have it in the office to send out immediately. Call 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. I think we ordered 200 books and we created 200 DVDs. So 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. It's only $39.99 and you save $30. Reverse arthritis and pain naturally. Everyone knows someone who's in pain. Everyone knows someone who has inflammation. This is the book that helps them. Also today, I want to mention that the reason that you have never heard any of our dozens and dozens of outstanding hosts, Richard Martin, Beatrice Lee, Danny Schechter, Jim Hightower, none of them have had to ever stop their programs, interfere, or preempt to raise funds is because I have been the sole contributor to Progressive Radio Network for 9 years. But we've also set up a system where you can also help support your favorite program. And it's tax deductible through Progressive Voices, the foundation that runs this. If you go now to your computer and just look on Progressive Radio Network page, you'll see a button that says donations. And what we'd like you to do is just think of what you could contribute to help defray the cost for our engineers, for the program director, for the people who make this possible 24/7. And anything is appreciated. If it's $10 a month or $30 or $100 a month, it's deductible and it's on a continuity basis. So go there and subscribe. And I thank you for your generosity on that. Back in a moment with more information. And then I'm going to be taking your calls on our talkback segment. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Everyone, I wanted to share a piece from Kelly Patricia O'Meara on ADHD drugs are no learning tool. Now, as we know, kiddie cocaine, that's what they call these, is able to supposedly help kids calm down, focus, get better grades. So parents everywhere are actually hoping their kids can get this diagnosis so they can get on this drug so they can do better. Well, this has been going on for decades. The ADHD drugs like Ritalin and Adderall have been called kiddie cocaine because the drugs produce similar effects as cocaine. Now, finally, research proves that this cocaine almost mimicking drug doesn't make a genius. The prescription psychiatric drugs prescribed to treat ADHD don't make children smart. A recent study of 4,000 students in Quebec spending an 11-year period, compared the academic outcomes of students who had taken ADHD drugs to students who did not. The study, which was published in the National Bureau of Economic Research, showed that not only did it not make the male students who had taken the mind-altering drugs not perform better than those who had not been drugged, but in fact, the academic performance of those who took the drugs was actually worse. The study further revealed that along with the worsening academic performances were adverse effects associated with taking the kiddie cocaine, including increased unhappiness, deteriorating family relationships, increased anxiety, and depression in girls. And the Drug Enforcement Administration has long ago said that kiddie cocaine, like any methamphetamine, like Ritalin, quote, produce discriminative stimulus effects similar to cocaine and will substitute for each other and for cocaine in a number of paradigms. In chronic updose administrations via the drug in animals produce psychomotor stimulant toxicity, including weight loss, stereotypical movements, and death. Mm-hmm. So if your kid wants to get high, as many kids do in school today, your kid crushes up his Ritalin, takes to school, and now all the kids are happily getting high. Of course, they can die, and it causes all kinds of bad side effects, including death. And there's this myth that it's going to make them smarter. It doesn't make them smarter. It makes them dumber, and it's dangerous. But even the diagnosis of ADHD is nonsense. And let's say hello to some of our listeners before we take other calls. And let's say hello to George from Connecticut. Hi, George.
Hi, Gary. I was trying to get how to get in touch with those people on the spraying for the subways, and I had two suggestions. I will take your first your answer, and then I'll give you suggestions on something that I think is important.
We have them listed on our website, including Mitchell Cohen. So
okay. We
have them listed, their articles listed, and contact information listed. But we're running behind today. I don't have time for that, but that's where you reach them. I'm sorry, but I want to take another call real quick, then we'll have more information to give you. Mark from Manhattan, your turn, Mark. Hi, Mark. You're on the air. Okay, we don't have him there. Then we'll take Lee from Long Island. Lee, you're up. Lee's not up. All right, well, they're all probably taking kitty cocaine. Get off the Ritalin, Mark and Lee and the rest of you. Okay. Let's say then, I have a piece here from Bill Moyers, and it's relevant to who creates the laws in the United States and what rights do we have and why aren't we doing anything about it? Listen up to this. I think you'll appreciate it.
When it comes to keeping our food supply safe and our humane values intact, sometimes there's nothing like a whistleblower, someone who will show or tell us the truth that someone else wants to keep hidden. In 2011, McDonald's fired a producer of eggs for its breakfast sandwiches after an activist group, Mercy for Animals, provided these graphic, disturbing images of the company's farm to ABC News.
Unsanitary conditions, including insects, rodents, and large numbers of dead birds that could lead to the spread of salmonella.
That same year, Mercy for Animals took these pictures at a butterball turkey farm in North Carolina. Birds being kicked and beaten with a metal bar. An investigation ensued. The abusers were fired. But suppose I told you that taking pictures like these, or these, could get you charged with a crime. Yes, you, not the company endangering our food supply, or the person inflicting cruelty on the helpless creatures, but you, the photographer, for taking the picture without permission of the facility's owner. It's possible, thanks to what are called ag-gag laws. That's a term coined by the New York Times food writer, Mark Bittman. Ag stands for agriculture, and gag, well, you know, a gag order means shut up. And that's what these laws are intended to do, to silence whistleblowers and investigators from trying to inform the public about bad practices at factory farms. Now, who would want to make it a crime to reveal such abuses? Remember our report on the United States of ALEC? That's right, the American Legislative Exchange Council, the corporate-funded organization whose dubious bedfellows include industry lawyers and lobbyists and state legislators, elected public officials. Their mission, as you've heard us say here before, is to change the country by changing its laws, one state at a time. Now take a look at this document. It's called Animal and Ecological Terrorism in America. This is an ALEC creation. Right there at the bottom of the document, you can see it was approved by ALEC's Board of Directors September 1st, 2003. Now think about that date, just two Septembers after the atrocious attacks that killed 3,000 Americans, and as we were still trying to figure out how to cope with terrorism, ALEC compared extreme animal rights and environmental militants to terrorist groups like Al-Qaeda. That's how Alec figured to market the model bill it would soon produce. The Animal and Ecological Terrorism Act, the bill, would make it illegal, an act of terror, to take pictures at an animal facility with the intent to defame the facility or its owner. Those convicted under the act would be put on a terrorist registry, never mind what the facility or owner might be doing to the creatures themselves. Laws that appear to be inspired by the Alec model make it a crime for potential whistleblowers to take any video or otherwise document practices at factory farms and other facilities. Take pictures of animal abuse like this, and you could go to jail. Now, keep in mind what this could mean for public health. Animal abuse often goes hand in hand with dangerous, unsanitary conditions, which is why Wired magazine says ag-gag laws could make America sick. Wired quoted an attorney at the nonprofit Center for Food Safety who said, quote, "Public health issues, food safety issues, environmental issues, all those things can be exposed through undercover investigations, but not if the corporations behind Alec, their devotees and disciples, get their way." Since 2010, ag-gag bills have passed in five states, Arkansas, Utah, South Carolina, Missouri, and Iowa. Overall, they've been introduced in 19 states, in over half of them by legislators with known Alec ties. But this time, Alec and its ilk may have overstepped their bounds. Ag-gag has been defeated in 12 of those states, including Tennessee, where the country music star Carrie Underwood helped pressure the governor into vetoing the bill. "Shame on Tennessee lawmakers for passing the ag-gag bill," she tweeted. "If Governor Bill Haslam signs this, he needs to expect me at his front door. Who's with me?" Apparently, Carrie, a lot of Americans are with you. Consider what happened when activist Amy Meyer was prosecuted under Utah's ag-gag law for photographing a front-end loader carrying a cow at a slaughterhouse.
Oh, my God!
Here's her video.
The cow?
He's alive
in that bulldozer?
Yes!
See the cow? No? That's because Meyer was standing so far away on public property. After the media got wind of the story, charges were soon dropped. Ag-gag laws are still pending in two states. In one of those, North Carolina, Mercy for Animals reported more abuse of butterball turkeys even after the 2011 incident we showed you earlier, with birds being beaten, dragged, or violently slammed into crates. Beware, better get the owner's permission before photographing the brutality. Otherwise, in the United States of Alec, you could be punished as a criminal.
And I believe that every legislator in America that has ever met in the last 30 years with Alec and agreed to take Alec's corporate-driven agenda bills and make them into laws without ever mentioning the association, without ever mentioning the campaign contributions, should be removed from office. Let's face it. 99% of the lawyers give the rest a bad name. And here's Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann.
Hi, Gary. Well, you know, I get a lot of emails from people, and this is just one to, you know, end on a lighter note. This is from Ed from New Jersey. He says, "Just a note to say what a hoot it must be to be associated with Gary. I find his dedication to excellence so necessary today, but his quick-witted comments crack me up too, as I believe humor rounds him out quite nicely. Just a quick story." He says, "I must have been given pizza in a bottle in my formative years. And realizing it's not the best food I should be indulging in, I used to get one weekly from the same place, whose cook is from Naples, Italy. Every week for 10 years, I'd say the same thing. This is the best ever, the best ever. So you think listening to Gary every day, I'd be used to his sharp wit and excellent health and environmental segments. But there I go saying, that was the best show ever, the best show ever. Just thought I'd comment with this lighthearted approach to showing my ongoing love and admiration for Gary's broadcast, as just like that pizza, PRN has become an irresistible part of my life with fewer calories. It feeds my spirit besides. Thanks so much." And that's Ed from New Jersey.
Thank you, Luann, and thank you, Ed. David, what is it, Ed?
David?
Ed from, okay. We appreciate it. That brings us up to the end of another program. The things I didn't get a chance to get to today, I will certainly do tomorrow. Plus, we have a very interesting guest tomorrow that you want to hear from Europe. And I have new information about a major petition that was sent repeatedly by 11,000 people to Washington proving corruption, proving lies and deception. And no one in Washington did anything about it. Now they can't tell us that it was all a surprise. They didn't know the crash was coming. These people showed why the crash was going to occur. So that's going to be a newsbreaker on tomorrow's program. Thank you all for listening and have a good day. Now let's say hello to Utrece Lead. Hi, Utrece.
Hello, Gary. How are you today? My jaw is kind of tight today. I had a nice little round with the dentist yesterday. But today we'll be talking about the Zimmerman verdict, of course, the travesty of justice that it is.
Okay, we look forward to it. Utrece Lead, right now on the Progressive Radio Network. And please remember, go to the donation button. And that way, by giving whatever you can on a monthly basis, you'll never have to hear anyone take time out of their show as you do on Pacifica, on PBS, on NPR. Not once in 9 years has any of my host ever had to raise a penny. So I appreciate you helping to defray some of those expenses. Have a nice day, everyone.